Why intervals, not distances? Ah, physicist jargon. Sorry. An interval, is like a distance, but in space-time, which is space plus time. It's really just Pythagoras' theorem. He took a yellow legal notepad and began to scribble. Suppose you go downtown and walk a few blocks east, a few blocks north. Then you can figure the distance you traveled like this. He held up the pad. Distance squared equals east squared plus north squared. You walked around a right-angled triangle. The square on the hypotenuse is equal to the sum of, I know that much. Yes. But we physicists think about space and time as a single entity, with time as a fourth coordinate in addition to the three of space. He wrote on his pad once more. Interval squared equals time separation squared minus space separation squared. This is called the metric for a Minkowski space-time. And how can you talk about a separation in time in the same breath as a separation in space? You measure time in minutes, but space in kilometers. David nodded approvingly.
Good question. You have to use units in which time and space are made equivalent.
He studied Bobby, evidently searching for understanding. Let's just say that if you measure time in minutes and space in light minutes, it works out fine. But there's something else fishy here. Why is this a minus sign rather than a plus? David rubbed his fleshy nose.
A map of space-time doesn't work quite like a map of downtown Seattle. The metric is designed so that the path of a photon, a particle traveling at the speed of light, is a null interval. The interval is zero because the space and time terms cancel out.
This is relativity. Something to do with time dilation and rulers contracting and...
Yes.
David patted Bobby's shoulder.
Exactly that. This metric is invariant under the Lorentz transformation. Never mind. The point is, Bobby, this is the kind of equation I have to use when I work in a relativistic universe, and certainly if I'm trying to build a wormhole that reaches out to Saturn and beyond.
Bobby mused over the simple, handwritten equation. With his own emotional whirlwind still churning around him, he felt a cold logic coursing through him. Numbers and equations and images evolving, as if he was suffering from some kind of intellectual synesthesia. He said slowly,
David, you're telling me that distances in space and time are somehow equivalent, right?
Your wormholes span intervals of space-time rather than simply distances, and that means that if you do succeed in stabilizing a wormhole big enough to reach Saturn across 80 light minutes.
Yes?
Then it could reach across 80 minutes. I mean, across time.
He stared at David.
Am I being really dumb? David sat in silence for long seconds.
Good God, he said slowly. I didn't even consider the possibility. I've been configuring the wormhole to span a space-like interval without even thinking about it.
Feverishly, he began to tap at his soft screen.
I can reconfigure it from right here. If I restrict the space-like interval to a couple of meters, then the rest of the wormhole span is forced to become time-like.
What would that mean?
David?
A buzzer rang, painfully loudly, and the search engine spoke.
Hiram would like to see you, Bobby.
Bobby glanced at David, flooded with sudden, absurd fear. David nodded curtly, already absorbed in the new direction of his work.
I'll call you later, Bobby. This could be significant. Very significant.
There was no reason to stay. Bobby walked away into the darkness of the wormworks. Hiram paced around his downtown office, visibly angry, fists clenched. Kate was sitting at Hiram's big conference table looking small, cowed. Bobby hesitated at the door, for a few breaths physically unable to force himself into the room, so strong were the emotions churning here. But Kate was looking at him, forcing a smile, in fact. He walked into the room. He reached the security of a seat on the opposite side of the table from Kate.
Bobby quailed, unable to speak.